Street Radio Arcadia. Today is Thursday, December 18th. Chris Marcus here with you as always. And we have a special guest on the show tonight. Is Tina Saki, a holistic and spiritual author and leader. Someone that I actually met at a workshop last year as I was going through that process of leaving the corporate American life that so many of us have grown up and known. And Tina's also had a similar experience working in the financial industry in New York and then really seeing this whole other world that's out there, the different things that are going on with energies and different alternative ways of healing, which are the kind of things that most of us didn't hear about in our public school health classes. And certainly, I never had any idea even existed when I was on Wall Street. So here to share all the secrets with us tonight is Tina. And Tina, are you there with us?
I am here. Thank you, Chris, for having me on your show.
Thank you for joining us. And I was mentioning to you before that I actually was listening to your interview recently from the Coast to Coast program. And it's really fascinating hearing about your background of really going from the Wall Street type atmosphere, you know, to seeing that there's different ways of living than what we've all grown up knowing, especially for people who are from the Northeast, where I think they're really breeding us more tightly than anywhere else. So anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into seeing that there's different solutions in big pharma and high yield bonds. And it's a fascinating story. So why don't you give us a little about the background?
Okay, well, great. It'll be a pleasure. So yeah, I did work in Manhattan and in corporate America for about almost two decades. And I was that high-strung career woman, mm-hmm. trying to live in a man's world, especially in the 80s. And, you know, it was survival of the fittest. If you weren't a good worker, an ethical worker, and a worker that worked, not a 9-to-5 job, Chris, but, you know, 12-hour days or more, you'd be booted out. So, you know, I went up the ranks from clerical position in corporate America to all the way up to two down from the chairman of a large bank. And when I got up there, I said, oh my goodness, now what? Is this why I am working 80-hour weeks? This is what's next? Do I really want to be the chairman of this institution? And I said, no, I did not. So,
and can you
really
explain, sorry to interrupt, but just I remember in business school was all the firms would come down and some of the banks would almost, it was almost like a bragging contest of, oh, well, we worked 80 hours a week, we worked 100 hours a week, we worked 300 hours a week. And I think some of them argued over the actual amount of hours in a week. But, you know, I remember thinking about, now, fortunately, I took the trading route, so...
Right,
on the exchange floor, 4:15, or out of there. But just in terms of the pace of life, are you getting in at 9 in the morning, staying till 9 or 10 at night, Saturday and Sunday as well? And it's just, what is that actually like on a day-to-day basis, especially from the, and you could comment as well on the health perspective, now knowing what you know?
Oh, yeah. So basically, you know, the job was 9-to-5, but my boss was getting in at 7 in the morning. So, you know, you really need to follow what your boss does, right?
Yeah.
So I was getting in at 7 in the morning. 5 o'clock came, and my boss was still there. And him, you know, his bosses were still there. So I'm still there. There were times I didn't get out till like 8 o'clock at night or even beyond that. I mean, I had some 3 o'clock in the morning times. Everything was, which was so ridiculous, everything had to get done right then and there. I mean, for some reason, at 5 o'clock, they would find projects that had to be finished like for the next day. It was this crazy energy of work, which I didn't like. Everything had to get done right away. I worked for the top bank at the time, so we always wanted to be on top. And yes, you're right. We were always counting the hours. And there were times, you know, I had a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, and I'd leave at 5 o'clock, and I remember, Chris, that I would go to the elevator, and people at the elevator seeing me going to the elevator would just make comments like, oh, a half a day, Tina? And meanwhile, I'd be in from 7 o'clock, leaving at 5. So I would sometimes, I would say to them, really smart alecky, saying, yeah, you know, half of 24-hour day is 12. So, yes, I did put my half a day in. I mean, it was just crazy. And health-wise, you're right. Health-wise, I wasn't, you know, I was going downhill. And that's what ended up happening. I went, toward that end of those two decades, I couldn't get out of bed. I was so, you know, you name it, I had it. I had shingles. I had diabetes. I had arthritis. I couldn't even get out of bed. And then I would call up my secretary and say, I'm going to come in a little late today. And, you know, because I was trying to get all my energy, muster up all my energy to really get to work. And I was wishing my life away. I would say, oh, you know, 30 more years I have until retirement. And
that's,
you know,
that's how that bonus is always.
What's that?
That's how the bonus is always set, as well, because you think, oh well, they put that target just so it's like, oh well, one more year, and then after you get this amount, will be, which it's almost kind of like that casino mentality. Yet somehow, for a lot of people who grew up being told to get good grades, go to college, and get a job. You know, it's amazing, and it's almost like inside the fishbowl, you wake up and you're like, when did all this happen?
Right. And then you have the accordion effect, you know, where when the market was doing really well, then you hire people, so you have lots of people in your department. And when the market was doing bad, then all of a sudden you have to let go. And so we would let go waves of people, and I survived many cuts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I felt bad seeing so many people go, and I have to say it was really not a good thing for me to survive and feel like, oh my goodness, I was spared, but look at so-and-so with the family and whatever.
Right.
You know, so I saw a lot of stuff that wasn't ethical, including that they would give me people's jobs that, you know, were there for 30 years, and they had just gotten their watch,
right.
You know, their wristwatch, and then now they're let go, and they don't, you know, they don't have anything to go to. So it was a lot of stuff that I witnessed, a lot of stuff that I didn't like. It was the ethics, and it wasn't of integrity, and that's what was getting me so ill. I was like, this is not a place where I really want to be. And now I'm not telling everybody that corporate America is bad to work.
Well, you're not necessarily saying that that's not true, but...
No, I'm just saying for me, it was not a good thing.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I have rescued lots of people from corporate America. I want to let you know that so they can follow their passion and their calling. And I also have some people that do work in corporate America that are loving it and have a great time with it, which is wonderful. The idea, Chris, is to really... You know, to me, success is loving what you do, not being the robot, in life. So I felt like I was a robot in life at that point in time. Today, I feel like I'm soulful. And that's a lot of the radio shows I've been doing lately is I've been talking about the topic, you know, are you a robotic or a soulful worker or an entrepreneur? You know, and if you're soulful, it doesn't matter what you do in cleaning toilet bowls. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're soulful about it, then you're successful. It's where you're at in your position. To me, I wasn't soulful. I was robotic. I was going in, coming home, getting, you know, feeling sick.
Well, I think that's a great point you raise that, you know, it's a good reminder for me, and I even lose track of where, you know, for some people, the corporate America life can be great. For many of us, we're finding out perhaps we want different things, and perhaps at some points in our life, that can be great and can be exactly where we were meant to be, but going and really trying to find whatever it is your passion, which whether if that at certain point is a corporate work setting, it sounds like you realized after a while that the corporate work setting wasn't your passion. So what was that like? Because certainly I think that's the big challenge, is that there's a lot of people who are in a corporate job that want to leave. They're talented people. They have, maybe they've been writing or playing an instrument or sailing or have something they're really passionate about, yet see what the economy's like. They see that it's not easy to find jobs, despite the government trying to make it look like Obama clause has solved it all. It's still, I think people are realizing it's not in the traditional sense what we think of as a good economy, but one of the things that I really liked about what you've done is you've taken the situation that you're in and kind of shifted, well, not kind of, you've shifted directly into something that is your passion. And I'd love to hear more about really what especially the thoughts before you made the move and how you took action, where a lot of people get stuck in particular. And so how did that come about?
Yeah, well, the thing I want to tell everybody is that we need to trust our passion. So for me, I was breaking apart. My spiritual body, I always talk about the four body system. Like you have four tires on a car. You have the emotional body, is what feelings are you feeling? Mm-hmm. The mental body, what are you thinking? The physical body, what are you feeding it? How are you moving it? Is it in good shape? And then the spiritual body is connecting to a source, to a creator, to divine, to God, to whatever you believe in. So, my four body system, the tires were really running low and I couldn't even move. Okay. So, but my spirit was telling me, hey, you've done enough in corporate America. You got what you needed. You don't have to be there and feel trapped for the rest of your life. So I did a lot of meditation at the time. I had to. I couldn't get out of bed. I was like, okay, I fell on my knees. I said, God, okay, now what? Please tell me, because this is not going to work out. Mm-hmm. I can't live another 35 years of this. I cannot do that. Mm-hmm. So what I kept getting when I was meditating and being connected with nature, because that's what I love to do, is to be in nature, I was kept getting these words like, trust your passion, trust your soul, trust it. And then I realized if I was successful in a job that I hated, and I don't like to use the word hate, but in this, I was successful in a job that I really did not like.
Right, right.
Could you imagine being in a job that you really are passionate about? What could I do then?
Right.
And I'm like, wow, let me give it a whirl. So I literally gave up everything. My husband and I went from making good money, and we had a 7-month-old child. We did a 180 degree turn. We left everything at the time, and we moved to Arizona. That's where
too?
I live now. And my husband was getting paid at a $13 an hour job. 3 mouths to feed, insurance we didn't have, so we had to get, catastrophic health insurance, catastrophic policy, meaning just like, God forbid, something bad happened. And so from that point, I had to really, I was broken down, and I had to, so I got dismembered so I can remember who I really was.
Right.
So by dismembering myself, by really coming down to that level of nothing, I had to remember, what is it important to me? Okay, yes, my husband's important to me, my son's important to me, but my passion and my goal of following my passion was so important. So at that time, that's when I really started, okay, well, I need to make some money for my family. So I took a job that didn't make pay a lot of money so I can just bring a little extra income into the family, but then also follow what I wanted to do. And so now I have no regrets on working in corporate America. As a matter of fact, the skills I learned then, including I have a master's in finance, you know, all those skills help me help others self-heal and make their transition to their calling.
Right.
So I'm really good at it because I went through that whole thing. And nobody can say, well, I have kids. So did I. Nobody can say, well, we don't have enough money. So did we. We didn't either. Nobody can say, like, you know, anything because I was there. So it can be done. And, you know, one thing I want to tell you, Chris, about this whole thing is really about trusting in the universe or God, trusting it. Because if you are flowing in a positive way or in a positive current, you're going to receive all that positivity that is in that flow. So, and that's what happened. I started meeting people that were like-minded because corporate America, the people there were not like-minded. I mean, yeah. You know, I was constantly censored. It wasn't for me. And
well, they're so like-minded, that, just not open-minded, perhaps.
Yeah, well, you know, like, the way I run my business today is very soulful. You know, I don't run it like a robot. A robot is a business that will make money at any cost.
Right.
Being a soulful, I don't make money at any cost. Like if a prospective client comes to me and says, hey, can you help me? I will assess if I could or not. And if I can't, I will tell that person, I'm sorry, I'm not the one for you. I'm not there to take money. You know, I'm there to help. My passion, my spiritual purpose here on earth is to help people that want my help, that are aligned in the way I think, in the way I feel, and the way I live. So if you're not there, then I'll tell you no. So, you know, I make money. My business makes money. But the other factors such as ethics are so important. And, you know, I have a vision. My business has a vision and a dream, and this vision includes fulfilling their needs, people's needs as well. So, you know, when I was in corporate America, I was a robot. Today, I'm a soulful person. So that's how I can explain the difference. I was successful then. I'm super successful now because I believe that success is loving what you do with passion.
Well, first of all, congratulations, because it's always really exciting to hear when someone has taken that series of steps, because it's certainly not always the easiest thing to do with the way that most of us have grown up being conditioned in a very rigid way of life, and that's really awesome to hear that story, and because I think that really captures you're not someone who just walked into it, but really went the whole transition. And perhaps for someone who's out there, who's sitting in that job right now today, and maybe they're worried, and you mentioned about this a little bit of trusting that things have a certain flow and a mechanism of working out. So for that person that's sitting in their corporate job and has been thinking about trying to figure out, or not trying to figure it, has been figuring out the way to make that transition, but maybe he's a little scared, saying, well, if I don't have the paycheck, how does this work out? What advice would you give to that person to help them see some of the things that you've learned along your journey?
Yeah, well, you know, what I would tell them to do is to go within. Okay, and one of the best ways I know to go within is taking the time out to meditate, especially in the morning. And, you know, when you get up in the morning, instead of flying out of bed, going from 0 miles an hour to 100, and then, you know, trying to get everything done, oh gosh, that's such a yucky feeling for me. But really try to get into a very peaceful state, build in some extra time for you so that you can connect with your heart's desires. If you start thinking like, well, that's a bad thing to do because I think, it's really, use the words I feel. You know, I feel will get in touch with your passion. I think will get in touch with your head. Not that there's anything wrong with your mind, but, you know, we need to get in touch with passion. So list your passions, list your hobbies, list your interests, and research how to make them happen, either solo or incorporate them into a, you know, into a vision with other people. Right. You know, just take the time out to really figure out, just like you're doing, Chris. You know, you're taking out this time to, you went from Wall Street to Colorado, right? So you're taking out the time. You're trying to figure things out. If you were to stay, if you would have stayed in Wall Street, you would have never done this, right?
And we've had a couple additional stops along the way, but something that you, when you were talking about how you actually felt in your body and in many ways was breaking down. Now, I was on the trading floor and I didn't deal directly with people who are doing some of the higher level money printing and some of the things that the government gets into, which is just a whole other category. But still being around, there was just a general feeling of dishonesty. And, you know, it's kind of like the guy who had cheated a card game. And certainly the way that I had been raised and learned to react with that was to yell louder than the other person. And I was pretty darn good at it. Although I remember, especially the last year that I was on the floor, because I'd been getting ready to leave. But I remember there was part of me that now, understanding a lot of how really the, you know, many of the diseases that we form, you know, and conditions the body has starts with the thoughts in our mind and the stress. And in some ways, I never felt too much stress as much about, you know, how much money I was making or losing. But just being around people who were trying to rip you off was always the trigger for me. And I remember just that, you know, which took years to start letting go of a lot of that negative energy. I remember feeling if I had stayed there long enough, in one way or another, I think it would have killed me. And I remember thinking that. And now, certainly the more I've learned since then, I think I was indeed correct, whether it was physically or just would have driven me insane at some point. I mentioned to you that I'd had a handful of kidney stones bouncing around in the last year. And my guess is I don't know if I'll ever know the direct cause and effect, but I'm sure that factored in there somewhere. So again, it's just really, I appreciate you pointing out how sometimes taking that step back, it sounds like for both of us, we were also feeling in terms of certain parts of the job, well, is this really worth it? And, you know, again, if it is for someone, if it's really worth the chase, then perhaps maybe finding a way to enjoy that job more and letting go of the negative parts of it. But certainly, and I'd like to hear your opinion, my guess is if someone's in a job where there's a lot of that negative energy and they're not getting satisfaction out of it, certainly that would be time to really start thinking about where it is your passion and where you could apply it.
Absolutely. So, you know, what I tell people is, what is your sacred duty? What is your dharma? Dharma is sacred duty. And if the job you're in is really your sacred duty, meaning you really feel that you love going there, yeah, there's going to be times that you know, you're not going to like, but most of the time, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, you're loving that. If you're not loving that, you know, this is not a rehearsal this lifetime. So change it. People don't realize that you have options. And then one big question people always ask me is, but I'm making good money. I get benefits. I'm like, okay, what is the price that you want to pay physically? Because, you know, I've seen a lot of diseases happen because that, you know, and including me, I had diseases myself, you know, like dis-ease, lack of ease. So I was mentioning, you know, every so often I'd wake up with something else on the list. Arthritis, diabetes, shingles, and you know, stress and panic attacks and all that. So, yeah, I was making six figures, but then I had all this list of diseases. What is the price of me? That was not worth it to me. So I gave it all up for a $13 an hour job feeding three people. But I was determined that I knew that if I was successful making money at a job that I couldn't stand, I knew that I would give myself that option, that choice, that gift of doing something that I can do. I don't want to be sitting on my deathbed wishing that I would have gotten out. I don't want to be sitting on my deathbed at 40, at 50, at 60, at 70, saying, oh, I should have left that job. Right. Right? And I have all this money. Whoa. But I haven't been happy the past 30 years. So, you know, it's really, what is the biggest issue? I would ask everybody, what is your biggest issue or problem that you have in your life right now? Is it your job? If it's your job, what do you think is the cause of it? Perhaps you don't like what you're doing. And what do you need to change? Sometimes you just need to change the attitude of the job. Like I have quite a few clients who are in corporate America, and they just needed an attitude adjustment. They needed to see things through a positive pair of eyes rather than a negative pair of eyes.
Right.
And they're happy. But sometimes you just need to, it's time for you to go, you know, give yourself permission to leave and be happy somewhere else. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, success is loving what you do. If it's cleaning toilet bowls and you're happy, then there you go. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly it got to the point where I even thought, well, geez, if you, what would be better, just having X number of years being completely unhappy doing something, or even if worst case, somehow things didn't work out, but you got to enjoy this time that we're here, you know, kind of goes back to really putting some time into thinking about what is it that we're doing here, what do you hope to get out of this lifetime, and I like that you point out that that's going to be different for every person, but really just trying to get inside what feels right, I think is great advice. And fortunately, it seems that people can get a little more information by checking out your book, My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life, if they're looking for some more help along with this process. And can you tell us a little about the book and maybe any other ways that you're helping people? So if someone out there is really going through this process and would really like some help of someone who's been there through that journey, I'd love to hear more about that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris, for having me this opportunity to say this. So they can go on my website, which is tinasacchi.com. That's TINASACCHI. And we can also, you know, they can get my book through that website and my audio programs. They can also make an appointment. They can book online with me. And my clients are worldwide, and we, you know, we just have to get together either through Skype, through FaceTime, through phone, or flying in, or meet me somewhere where I'm going to be. So, I'd be happy to coach anybody and help you live your Dharma and help live the life that you were meant to live. Because it'd be really sad if you are not living the life you're not living. And the other thing, which is very important with this whole process, is decluttering. So when I say decluttering, it's decluttering people, places, things, and drama that don't support your path, that don't support your vision. And that's one of the tough things, is letting go of things, people, places, things, and drama. But that's really where we start. And if you're ready, I roll up my sleeves and I will help you.
Well, I certainly can give my recommendation, because we met in this program where we were trying to figure out WordPress and the process of setting up our own businesses. And I think that it's great that you make yourself available as someone who hasn't just read the books, but has gone from actually being there and what many people are experiencing to really taking what you love and also successfully creating it into a business where not even business as we think of, but doing what you enjoy doing, talking to people about things that you enjoy talking to them about. And especially I thought it was interesting how you pointed out that people can reach you on Skype, which shows that really whatever someone's expertise is, you know, with the different communication tools that are available, you know, there are ways, and once we figure out how to connect with the others that are out there, just like here you're going and speaking and giving information and letting people know what's possible. So anyway, let me give out that website one more time. It's Tina Sacchi, TinaSacchi.com. So you can go check out her website there, get in touch with Tina, and I want to thank you for joining us. It's great to reconnect with you a year later and see how things have been coming along and also how you're setting a great example for what's possible for other people and also making yourself available to help them. So, Tina, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
And best of luck with everything. And with that said, for all of our listeners out there tonight, thanks for joining us on Radio Arcadia. I hope you're doing well wherever you may be and feeling at peace. And God bless you all.